For anyone expecting to hear precisely what's in and what's out of the Pentagon budget in the coming years, yesterday's briefing was a disappointment. Rather, the Pentagon news conference, attended by the president and the top uniformed and civilian military leadership, was a rough outline of the strategy that will guide spending decisions over the next decade as DOD cuts back several hundred billion dollars from its previously planned spending. President Obama says it means canceling unnecessary weapon systems, scaling back on roles and missions that are lower on the priority list, and refocusing on future threats after 10 years of war.
As we look beyond the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the end of long-term nation building with large military footprints, we'll be able to ensure our security with smaller conventional ground forces. We'll continue to get rid of outdated Cold War era systems so that we can invest in the capabilities that we need for the future, including intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, counterterrorism, countering weapons of mass destruction, and the ability to operate in environments where adversaries try to deny us access. So yes, our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile, flexible, and ready for the full range of contingencies and threats.
The strategy is the outcome of months of high-level deliberations that began in earnest when Congress passed the Budget Control Act to resolve this summer's debt ceiling debate and cut $487 billion from planned DOD spending over 10 years. General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says they considered everything.
We weighed facts and assessments. We challenged every assumption. We considered a wide range of recommendations and counterarguments. I can assure you that the steps we have taken to arrive at this strategy involved all of this and much more. This strategy also benefited from an exceptional amount of attention by our senior military and civilian leadership. On multiple occasions, we held all-day and multi-day discussions with service chiefs and combatant commanders.
Most questions about specific decisions that were reached in those deliberations were deferred until the president's budget announcement next month. But the Pentagon briefing and the 8-page strategic guidance document that accompanied it was at least as much about what the Pentagon doesn't want to do as what it does want to do. There are some specific areas in which DOD is unwilling to make cuts. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
We will protect and in some cases increase our investments in special operations forces, in new technologies like ISR and unmanned systems, in space, and in particular in cyberspace capabilities, and also our capacity to quickly mobilize if necessary. These investments will help the military retain and continue to refine and institutionalize the expertise and capabilities that have been gained at such great cost over the last decade.
The strategy document doesn't suggest that the Pentagon is willing to give up on any particular roles or missions. Indeed, it says completely abandoning the ability to conduct any of the missions the military is ready for right now would be unwise. And President Obama says he and the Pentagon are determined not to repeat what they view as the mistakes of the past defense drawdowns after World War II and Vietnam.
When our military was left ill-prepared for the future, as Commander-in-Chief, I will not let that happen again. Not on my watch.
Ashton Carter, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, insists this drawdown will be different.
It's different in two respects. The first is that we're being careful to preserve the know-how and some of the specialized capabilities that have proven so useful and that we have learned so much about over the last 10 years. We are not retaining the large force structure necessary to sustain large-scale stability operations, and that doesn't mean that we can't regenerate them if we need them in time to conduct such operations, if in the future that becomes necessary. It's about forces in being, and we do not need to keep forces in being of that kind on the scale in which we've used them over the last two decades. So we're going to keep the tradecraft, and we're going to keep the option to reconstitute, but we're not going to keep the large force structure and being.
Carter says the Pentagon will maintain its ability to reconstitute those Army and Marine end strengths by retaining a large, capable cadre of mid-grade officers and non-commissioned officers to achieve what DOD is calling reversibility to its land force cuts. Carter says the same general concept applies to the defense industrial base.
As we make program changes, we want to make sure that 10 years, 15 years from now, we still have an industrial base that supports our key weapon systems, even if we're not able to buy in those areas at the rates or in the volume that we had planned before we were handed this $487 billion cut. Another example, science and technology and innovation. Because that's the seed corn of the future, and we want to make sure we don't eat the seed corn. Reversibility is the concept that we've used to remind ourselves that we want to act in such a way that we, to the extent we can, with a $487 billion cut, preserve options for the future.
DoD leaders also repeated their frequent refrain that while the current level of cost cutting is manageable, another round of cuts triggered by the Budget Control Act sequestration mechanism would result in a hollowed-out military. Carter says that will become apparent to lawmakers when they see the details of the budget the Pentagon will submit in early February.
When members of Congress, when citizens see the magnitude of the task that we've had to undertake to meet the $487 billion target, you'll understand why we give the harsh warnings we do about sequestration. We're going very, very far with $489 billion. We're looking at things that we haven't had to look at in this department for a decade. He's made us put everything on the table,
including the thorny issue of pay and benefits. Panetta indicated he does intend to find savings in personnel costs, but as with most other questions about specifics of the strategy, the answer is wait until next month's budget.
We want to maintain the quality of benefits that flow to our troops and to their families. That's a key red line for us. We're going to maintain those. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to control costs in those areas as well. And that's part of what we will present as part of our budget.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.